I had no intentions of sharing this with you guys, that what Cody's getting ready to bring me, but I think I will. And I want our young people to stay with us tonight, because I love our young people. I mean, I love our young people. And I believe that the Lord would head you off from a lot of trouble, a lot of problems. But one of the hardest things for you, that's perfect. Man, you did a terrible job. No, that's perfect. Every young person needs a dad like me, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, because I was a young person many, many years ago, I remember one of the hardest things was to do what I was told, because it made good sense. Not because it was convenient. When you're young, you want to do what's convenient. You want to do what feels good. You want to do what's fun. And I'm not talking about sometimes. Sometimes a lot of fun is great. But I remember as a teenager, I wanted to have fun all of the time. And if what someone's told me was good for me, well, then that's great, as long as it didn't get into my fun. If it got into my fun, whether it's good for me or not, I was going to do it. But there are still, it can't stop adults with a little more wisdom and some experience. It's just the fact that you're going to do what you want to do anyway is not going to stop us from warning you and trying to help you and head you off from trouble. So that if perhaps you do speed and go too fast and you get in a car wreck and you wind up in hell, you're not going to be able to say, well, my pastor never told me about that. And then peradventure there are others that would listen and just do it because it's the right thing to do. Then maybe we've saved a soul. Does that make sense? I'm going to tie all this in somehow with worship, because we want to talk about worship tonight. Brother, the preacher we had, Brother Bustard, who talked about forgetting all the time and left that spirit behind this pulpit. How many of you remember him talking about leaving his briefcase somewhere? I just got a call from the motel room. He left it in the motel room. He's 4 hours from his briefcase as I speak. Thank God for good wives, man. And so we're going to talk about worship tonight. He spoke on worship Sunday morning. And I just can't get away from it still. There have been many, 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 many times that I did not understand. And you say, what didn't you understand, Pastor? Well, now, if I understood it, I'd tell you. And there'll be many, many, many more times that I won't understand. But I've always understood the fact, if I can just continue to praise His name, if I can just continue to let Him lock His loving arms around me, and I can lock my arms around Him, somehow, everything, not some things, I'm talking about everything, everything is going to be all right. Before we're seated, I'm inviting somebody not to be spontaneous and not to do something out of habit, but to do something directly from your heart, something from a focused mind, and lift it up to the Lord right now in praise and in worship and in exhortation. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God richly blesses you're seated just now. I received this a few days ago. The note said, Pastor, please read this. You will find this very, very cool info. And so people are always giving me something to read, and so I read it a little while ago. I want to share it with you. It is mistakes that people make by leaving God out of the equations of their lives. These are facts. Now, the Bible talks about untimely death. And I believe when a baby dies, it's an untimely death. I believe that when a teenager dies, it's an untimely death. Or when a pastor dies, whether he's 90 or 100, it's an untimely death. My parents asked me the other day, they said, "When do you think you're going to retire?" I said, I want to retire while I've still got some years left. I said, at least between 80 and 90. And so, just to let you know, there's no thought of retirement. I promise you that. And so, know these facts, that death is certain. Do you believe it? Death is certain. And it would make us want to reflect on some things. This is very interesting to read about. And we are somehow going to tie this in with worship. But Galatians 6 and 7, Brother Tyre, if you would get us there, I want to share this stuff with you. This is pretty powerful and very true things. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. And the Bible study was already put together, and the Bible study itself is from Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. So we're not very far from home here tonight. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever..." Now look at your neighbor and say, "That means everything." "Everything that a man sows, that shall he also reap." Now don't blame your mama and your daddy, and don't blame me or anyone else for any little bit of a harvest that you're reaping right now. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You can come to God with repentance. You can come to God and receive forgiveness. Holy Ghost, I can baptize you in Jesus' name, and He will wash your sins away. But the ripple effect of what you have done can affect you for a long, long time. And so I'm simply, one of the reasons why I wanted our young people, my boys, to stay in here tonight is because I want you to understand, whatever decisions that you're making right now, young ladies, whatever decisions you're making in life right now can affect you for the rest of your life. Any mistake you make, we're going to turn it around, put it on the altar, spread God's blood on it. You're going to walk away and be born again. But the effects, the effects of what that does to life cannot be taken away. Amen? Praise God. We're not talking about the guilt. We're not talking about judgment. We're just talking about simple effects. You can be out drunk driving tomorrow night and have a head-on collision, and everyone in the other car be killed, and you live, but yet you lost an arm and a leg. You can find forgiveness on this altar. But what's that going to do for the arm and leg? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I went physical so you can see what I'm trying. But now I'm trying to go spiritual so you can understand also what I'm trying to say. It can affect your witness. It can affect ministries. It can affect your life. It can affect your future. It can affect everything. Things given time can be lived down. They can. The Bible says there arose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. Eventually, you're going to live stuff to the point that it dies and it's way behind. And that's awesome. But these people that I'm going to read to you about today made some very, very poor choices. Here's some men and women who mocked God. John Lennon was, I think he was one of the Beatles, am I right? And a singer. And some years before, during his interview with an American magazine, he said, this is what he said, because he was so caught up in his rock and roll. He was very famous, had a lot of money, and was young, strong, and a great voice and a great singer. Basically feeling his Wheaties, if you don't mind me saying. When you are in that mode of life, then you feel like at that moment that you can get by with anything, but you can't. He said, Christianity will end. It will disappear. I don't have to argue about that. He said, I am certain. He said, Jesus was okay, but his subjects were too simple. Today, we, talking about his band, are more famous than him. That was 1966. Lennon, after saying that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ, was shot and killed. But something interesting to note was that he was shot six times. The Bible says in Revelation 13, know this, that the number of man is six. God left a message with that young man and said, do whatever you want to do, but don't be pointing your finger at me, because I have done nothing to you. And so he said that and didn't get away with it. Tancredo Neves, president of Brazil, during the presidential campaign, he said if he got 500,000 votes from his party, not even God would remove him from office. He got the votes, but he got sick a day before being made president and died. Fellow by the name Cazuza, he's a bisexual Brazilian composer, singer, and poet. During a show in Rio de Janeiro, while smoking his cigarette, he puffed out some smoke into the air and said, hey, God, that's for you. He died at the age of 32 of AIDS in a horrible, horrible manner. When I'm talking about someone dying of AIDS, I'm remembering a young man that was in our church, in our youth department. He played the tambourine. He sang specials. He's a very talented young man. In fact, when I first got in church, I told the Lord, I want to worship just like he does. And God blessed me. And I did. I worshiped just like Buddy Hall would worship God. Buddy Hall died of AIDS in a homosexual setting, in the dregs of sin, promiscuity and nastiness and filthiness, because one day he just simply decided, I've had enough of God. The man that built the Titanic, after the construction of the Titanic, a reporter asked him how safe that it would be. With an ironic tone to his voice, he said, not even God can sink it. And it sunk as a result of natural causes. Natural meaning nature, meaning created by God. Marilyn Monroe, an actress, she was visited by Billy Graham during a presentation of a show. And he said, the Spirit of God sent me to preach to you. And after hearing what the preacher had to say, she said, I don't need your Jesus. And a week later, she was found dead in her apartment. Bon Scott, a singer, the ex-vocalist of AC/DC, on one of his 1979 songs, he sang, don't stop me, I'm going down all the way, I'm on the highway to hell. On the 19th of February, 1980, Bon Scott was found dead after choking on his own vomit. Campinas, Brazil, a group of friends, drunk, went to pick up a friend. The mother accompanied her to the car and was so worried about the drunkenness of her friends. And she said to the daughter holding her hand, who was already seated in the car, she said, "My daughter, go with God and may He protect you." And she responded, "Only if God travels in the trunk, because inside here, it's already full." Young people say things like that without thinking. Hours later, news came by that they had been involved in a fatal accident and everyone had died. The car could not be recognized for what type it was or what it had been, but surprisingly, the trunk was intact. The police said there was no way the trunk could have remained intact. And then to their surprise, inside the trunk was a crate of eggs, and none of them were broken. Christine Hewitt, Jamaican journalist and entertainer, said the Bible, or the Word of God, was the worst book ever written. In June 2006, she was found burnt beyond recognition in her motor vehicle. Many, many people have forgotten that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that He inhabits the praises of His people. There is a factor that we must consider tonight, and that is the factor of worship. Now, whether we are going to live for God, we need an old-fashioned revival of what everybody had, whether they went to church or not, as close as back as the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. It didn't matter who they were. They could be the biggest gangsta. They could be the biggest bank robber in Chicago. And their name could be Buzz. And they would never say anything derogatory or negative or disrespectful about God or the house of God. Never. But we've lost that in the generations since. And it is my obligation and every pastor's obligation to put that back into the house of God and back into the minds of the people of God. You may not live for Him, but you better respect Him. I said you may not serve Him and wind up in a devil's hell, but you better respect Him while you're breathing on this earth. Because if you don't, there are consequences. Whether you serve Him or not, He is still your God. Whether you live for Him or not, He is still your God. And He dictates whether you breathe or live or die, whether you're sick or well, healthy, whether you have finances or no finances. All of that ties in with your respect and honor to the man or to the house of God and to the God of the house. Amen. Let me just simply say that God is most glorified in you when you are satisfied in Him. Now, if God is not satisfying you right now, you're looking over the fence at some other things that you feel that they must be in your life right now other than God. Because I'm telling you right now, God is all I need. Serving Jesus Christ is all I need. Amen. Give me a place to sit in the house of God and watch me worship. Amen. Give me a block of time on Saturday and I'll join you on outreach. Give me a Bible study chart and I'll go teach somebody a home Bible study. Amen. I don't have to have a name on a door. I don't have to be promoted. You don't have to give me a family Bible or a bicycle. I'm here to live for God. I'm here to lift up the name of Jesus and to magnify the name of the Lord. Why? Because He is my God. I am the sheep or goat of His pasture. Amen. And so we need to push for it. We did a campaign several years ago, and it was called Push, and we said we were going to pray until something happens. And that's what push meant to us. Well, tonight We're going to get it in our minds that we're going to keep praising until something happens. That's pushing, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's not praising spontaneously. Amen. That's not at the end of pastor sentences. We're just naturally clap our hands and we don't know why. Amen. That's not naturally after he said something, we just say amen and we don't know why. But that is focused praise. That is focused worship. Amen. That is because something was said or something was sung or something was thought or felt. Amen. And your mind said, you need to praise God for that. And you said, that's right, I do. I need to worship God right now because of that. Amen. Not because it's instinct and not because it's a habit, but because I feel that. I need to. Amen. I want you to understand that God is most magnified in your satisfaction. That's why we need to be a happy people. We need to be an excited people, a thrilled people. And we can't let temperatures, we can't let sound systems, we can't let... I don't like these things down here. What are they doing there? They got a little polka dots on them. Well, if you'll give us time, we'll paint them, I promise. They broke their necks to get as fast to get done what they did get. And we appreciate the good work, and it's first class. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Scarborough kept saying, I need an office. And we gave him an office. Brother Brandon said, I need me an office too. So we gave him an office. Brother Ted, if you're not careful, we're going to give you an office. With a roof on it. No. Amen. And we're making room. Everything we do, the Lord just fills it up. You know, we added a fellowship hall. And you need to be in there at prayer time. And see how full it is. Thought I'd sneak that in there. Praise God. And so, you know, we're in revival around here. What's wrong with you? We're excited about what God's getting ready to do. What's wrong with you? Let's get in tune with what God desires, and the blessings of God will flow in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when we can't worship God when we want to, then let's offer the greatest worship of all. And that is the sacrifice of praise. I've got a headache this big, somebody said. That's all right. When you praise God, it's going to be a sacrifice. And He honors sacrifice. Hey, listen. He honors sacrifice. Somebody ought to bring some sacrifice right now. Hallelujah. I know it's Tuesday night. And we're sedated and it's kind of mundane and usual, but what's wrong with worship on Tuesday night if you feel like the Lord wants it? If you feel like the Lord's calling for it? Or if you don't know and you just want to be safe anyhow? Praise God. God is magnified in your satisfaction, because there's something about a person living in a state of satisfaction that just naturally causes them to worship God. I just feel so good. I just want to worship God. Aren't you the same one that can't hardly make your rent payment? Yeah. But I'm also the same one that God hasn't killed and destroyed and sent to hell. I'm also the one that God delivered and gave me the Holy Ghost. He allowed me to be water baptized in His wonderful name. Amen. I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. What's rent got to do with all of that? What's finances got to do with all of that? I've been delivered. That hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, if you'll march in here and hold your head high, get your hands in the air and lift your heart and magnify the name of Jesus, you won't feel the same way you felt when you leave this building. Will not feel the same way you felt when you leave this building. Praise God. Genesis 22 and 12, Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and we will worship. The greatest sacrifice that God ever asked of Abraham, and Abraham couldn't even call it sacrifice. What did he call it? He called it worship. Worship is music from the heart. I would love to hear of worship from the heart. Worship from the home. Worship from the family unit. Worship from the husband. Worship from the wife. Worship from every teenager. I'm so sick and tired of young men coming up with the excuse, I'm a loser because my dad fed me Twinkies. I'm a loser because my mother kept pulling the bottle out of my mouth. I was weaned at 2 years old from my passy. Hallelujah. I can't live for God because nobody in my house lived for God. Boo-hoo. Is God so sick and anemic you can't live for Him while your parents won't? Is God so sick and anemic that you can't live for Him when your kids won't? Where's the God that I serve? Let Him answer by fire. And the only way the fire is going to fall is when worship is lifted up. Somebody give Him some sacrifice for the fire to come down and consume. Amen. Amen. We need some altar time. We need Bible time. And if I promise, if you will build it, He will inhabit it. He will live there. Don't let the devil make you feel that worship is below your dignity. When worship is going up, nothing about any given service is predictable. And I love that about Landmark. You never know what's going to happen. The unexplainable begins to happen. And if your life is predictable, worship may have gotten distant. And it may be a little too far removed. Thank you for doing it when I ask you. But what is wrong with doing it anyhow? Worship is when deity comes down to dance with humanity. You're going to worship whatever is first and foremost in your life. I'm just asking to let it be God. I'm pleading for somebody to lead your family and your friends into worship. Amen. I appreciate everybody that has dialogue with someone else. You're 20 years old. Have dialogue with those that are 20 years old. If you're 18 years old, live for God and have dialogue with those that are 18 years old. But what is dialogue if it's not leading somebody to live for God? What is being able to talk to people if it's not leading them to a deeper relationship in the Holy Ghost? And the only way that's going to happen is for us, me, you, everyone, to have a sensitivity to the Spirit. That does not come because you feel like you need it. That comes because you have dialogue with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. It's not above our dignity to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm pleading for somebody to bind the strong man in your house. Some evenings when your husband drives in from work and comes in the house, you ought to be running up and down the hallway speaking in tongues. Sometimes when you come in from daycare and he got home early, he ought to be running up and down the hallway speaking in tongues. Just sometimes. I'm not talking about every time. I'm not talking about all the time. Amen. How many of you have really had a Holy Ghost fit in your house? Well, it's time. Amen. I'm trying to keep my right mind here, but I wouldn't mind a bunch of lunatics for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the roof could cave in this building and kill 5 or 6 people, and it would probably shut the church down. People saying, I'm not going there no more. That's not safe. How many of you remember years ago when the bridge, the walk across bridge, collapsed in Charlotte at the raceway and people were, you remember that? Have people stopped going to the race? Listen, bad things are going to happen to good people. So, let's just keep worshiping God. Let's just keep living for God. Let's just keep going back. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got personal agendas, if you're here to worship God because you're trying to get something out of it all the time, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're to worship God, if you're here to worship God because of who He is, you'll never be disappointed because He's all that and much more. Amen. So we are either creating or destroying a particular kind of a lifestyle. And so you're here fighting against worship, or you're here volunteering to get more of it and to be involved in it more. And there's both sects of people here today. There's both kinds of people sit in within my hearing right now. Amen. And I can talk about this all night long and it won't affect you. You're going to have to be knocked around. You're going to have to find out how strong God is. You're going to have to find out how powerful He is. Maybe the edge of an overdose, or maybe a little spot of lung cancer, or maybe the fact that you wake up one day and you can't decide not to drink one today, but you have to drink one today. Or maybe, you know, you and your spouse aren't quite getting along like you used to get along. You know, some things can happen to cause you to become aware that the Lord is alive and well. But don't let it happen that way. Just hear the preacher tonight and understand that I ought to give God praise all of the time. That I need to glorify and magnify the Lord all of the time. All of the time. I want you to understand that God is not a physical God. That's why He could robe Himself in flesh and come as Jesus Christ. That's why He can live in me and in you at the same time and not be two people. Because He is not a people. He is not a person. The only time He was ever a person was in Jesus Christ. That's why the only God that we're going to see in heaven is the face of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only body that God ever had. He called it His Son because He created it from Mary, a virgin. But that Son was also the Father. Amen. And so He is not a person that you can deal with as a man. He's not some little co-pilot. Hallelujah. Well, He is a God. He is the God. And He is spiritual. And if we're going to satisfy Him, we must find time to be in the Spirit. Because it is in the Spirit. How many of you want more? And it's perfectly fine. This is not a trick question. How many of you want more from God? I want more. Amen. And so if we need more from God, somewhere we've got to get in the Spirit. John got a revelation. Not because he was feeling good and walking through the woods whistling. In fact, he was lying bundled up in something much like a gunny sack. He was plopped out of a John boat on the edge of the Isle Patmos. He had just been burned in a cauldron of boiling oil. But because the Lord looked at him and said, "You will not die," he couldn't die. He blew their minds. They reached in with their prongs and hooks and pulled his body out and plopped him on that boat and sent him to the Isle of Patmos to die. But it was there where John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." John, you don't have to feel good to worship God? No. You can be boiled in oil and still praise God? Yes. What's oil got to do with it? What's torment got? What's pain got to do? What's sickness got to do with anything? What has trouble got to do with anything? I thought my God deserves praise all of the time. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he looked up, and apparently instant healing struck his body, and the Lord spoke. He heard a voice say, "John," and he turned, and that's when he said, "I saw him." And he said, "John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Write these things down." I feel that same presence, that same Spirit of God in this house tonight, right in the midst of this Bible study. And it is here because you are reverent to that presence. Not because you're just sitting here, but you're conscious of the fact that He's here. He's here. And some of you are looking for an excuse to worship. Why don't you go ahead and do it? Why don't you just go ahead and praise Him? Deity comes down and dances with humanity. Deity comes down and brings tears to our eyes. Deity comes down and it takes away that spectatorship and allows us to be involved in what the Holy Ghost is up to. Lord, You're up to something tonight, and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be the show, and I don't want to be the limelight, but I want to be a part of what the Holy Ghost is up to tonight. Get out of the sea of regret. Get out of the areas of disappointment. Get your mind out of carnal conditions. Get the lust out of your spirit. And get up and be ye like-minded. And worship the Lord. And magnify the name of Jesus. And let revival sweep you off of your feet like a whirlwind. Men, lift your voice right now. Ladies, lift your voice right now. Young people, show signs of life right now. We need influence with God. We need position, but we don't need it with man. We need it with God. We need a place, but we don't need it with man. We need it with God. This is the worship principle. This is the worship factor. You're not physical, God. And so for me to commune with You, I've got to find myself in the Spirit. You're not a man that I can walk up to and tap on the shoulder. So I've got to find the Holy Ghost in this. I've got to find the anointing in this. I've got to find the presence of the Lord. One preacher said, we drive the doctors nuts because with apostolics, there's another dimension. There's another door. Hallelujah. When they look at you like you're going to die, and 3 years later, you come bouncing down the hallway and giving them high five. Hey, we're driving them crazy, Brother Brown, because with us apostolics, there's another dimension. There's another realm we can go into. Hey, it's the spirit world. It's where worship goes up and it brings a smile to the King of Kings. It raises Him from His throne. It gets His attention. He lives within the framework of worship, and He meets the needs of His people. Oh, I feel the touch of God. When you're in the Spirit, you go beyond reason and understanding. Your situation seems insurmountable. There's no way that's a perfect time for God to step in and say, John, I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. It doesn't start and end with your finances. It doesn't start and end with your education. It starts and it ends with Me. Woo! What did they say when they passed by the crippled? They said, such as I have, give I thee. I don't have a season's pass. I don't have backstage tickets, but I do know the King of Kings. And everything that I've got, I give to you. And that man jumped up and began to leap on feet that had never been walked on before. He went to the house of God where he had never been to church before, because somebody gave them not what they wanted, but what they needed. I don't have what this world wants, but I've got what this world needs. I'm simply saying tonight, if you could let a little redneck come out, I'm saying you can't give what you ain't got. So I need something tonight to give. We want to fill this place, and worship will draw a crowd. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Let's begin to worship. I just simply want to begin to worship. I will not bend so that I can blend. I don't want to blend. I want to shine for Jesus. I want doctrine, and I want dignity in that doctrine. They danced with the ark. Hophni and Phinehas, they got beat up, even though they had the presence of God, or the Ark of the Covenant. That was because they had the symbol. They had the symbol of the presence of God. I want to dress like I've got the presence of God. And I don't want to just look like I've got the presence of God. I don't want to just act like I want the presence of God. These boys were prestigious namesakes. They were great boys. They had lineage. They had the right name. Their dad was the high priest. But yet, the presence of God was taken away from them because they wanted to settle for just the symbol. I don't want a cross around my neck. I want one on my shoulders. He said, take up your cross and follow me. His burdens are my burdens. His delights are my delights. His strengths are my strengths. His loves are my love. His desire, my desire. Hallelujah. Sometimes we sit snug in truth and we don't understand that truth is a person. Did you know that Jesus is truth? Did you know it's the truth that sets you free? We can know doctrine and not know deity. We can quote the book and not know the author. But I promise you, if you'll begin to worship, things will begin to happen to you. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why? Because worship is the prerequisite to receiving everything you need from God. And once you receive it, it doesn't die. You can leave that feeling of that sense of praise in places where your presence is not even there anymore. There were two young men that went back to their home place. Their parents had long since died. The weeds had overcome the old farmhouse. Trees had grown up. The chimneys falling over. Rainwater's coming all through the house. They're just going to come and simply clear the lot and sell the land and make a lot of money. And so here they come to take care of business. They stepped into the house, and the first place they started to work was the fireplace. They stood there and they stared at that old fireplace, and they stood there long enough until the tears began to run down their face, and they began to feel something strong. What was it? Well, I'll tell you what it was, because years ago on Mama's knee, she would rock those two young boys when they were babies, and she would sing the songs of Zion, and she would pray the prayer of faith, and just looking at that fireplace brought all of that back. And their two boys found God again in an abandoned farmhouse at a fireplace where Mama knew God and brought in the presence of God. We can leave a legacy that will change our world when we're not even around. I Before we leave the building, let's leave as worshipers. We need to love with the same passion that some of us are able to hate with. If we could love with the same passion and zeal that we can hate with, oh, what a revival. Don't let this church get quiet while hell is getting hot. In our past, we raised enough hell. It's time to raise some heaven in this house. Is anybody with me tonight? I want people to leave our services saying, whoa, what was that? What meaneth this? It's treasure, honey. It's a treasure in an earthen vessel. It's a treasure from heaven in a vessel so unworthy, in a vessel that can crack, in a vessel that gets a leak every now and then. It's a treasure in an earthen, breakable vessel. It is the greatest treasure of all. And the only way that I can come even close to repaying God is to worship and magnify His name. How many of you remember the fig tree that Jesus walked by? I don't want to be beautiful, but barren. Don't begin in the spirit and end in the flesh. Don't hide in the dark what God gave you in the light. I want someone to have the testimony tonight that praise is what I am. Praise is all I have. And for some, the word of the Lord is coming a second time. Let's stand together. I want us to sing something. I want us to worship the Lord with a chorus of praise. I want us to magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. I'm not asking you to run, but if you feel it, run. I'm not asking you to clap your hands, but if that's what the Holy Spirit, clap your hands. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but hey, if that's what it is, raise your hands. You're a fingerprint. You're different than anyone in this building. If we were to lose you, there'd be nobody in this world, this whole wide world, that could take your place. Not a soul, not one individual could take your place. Not everybody's been through what you've been through. Not everybody has the testimony that you have. Nobody knows what God can do like you know what God can do. I'm talking about something tonight that has sustaining qualities. It has keeping capability. It has anchors that hold. I know we have worshiped all night. But maybe for a grand finale, just a little something more for a grand finale this evening. Just a little something extra. Just a little something extra. My praise always. Hallelujah. And I vow to praise you. Hallelujah. Through the good and the bad, I'll praise you. Yes. Whether happy or sad, Lord, I'll praise you.
The tabernacle of praise.
In all that I go through,
the house of praise.
Because praise. Is what
yes.
I do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I owe it all to you.
My God.
Lord, I vow to praise you.
My God, my God.
Through the good and the bad.
We're praising Him. We're praising
when
Him.
When I'm happy. And
we're
when
praising
I'm sad, I will praise you. Oh, in all that I go through,
yes, yes.
Because praise is what I do.
It's what I do. It's what I do.
And I owe
it all.
It all.
I owe it all.
To you. Praise is what I do. Oh yes.
It's what I do.
Oh yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh yes. It's yes. Praising what I do.
Oh
yes. It's what I do. It's what I do.
In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth.
Praise will take you through. Praise will take you through. Oh, your praise will take you through. It'll take you through.
Let it take you through. Let it take you through.
Praise will bring you out.
It's gonna bring you out.
Bring you out.
My God. My God.
It will bring.
I'll praise you.
Because praise is what I do.
Yeah.
And I own.
Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, when you don't have anything else, you've got praise. When you don't have anything else, you've got worship. You've got adoration. You've got honor. You've got the fear of the Lord. You've got the glory of God. You've got His majesty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I want praise to be who we are. Praise to be what I am. Hallelujah. 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 Greet one another. Shake somebody's hand. Let one another know how much you love one another. Appreciate one another.